Hello and welcome to the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I am your host, Neil Horowitz. Hit me up on Twitter, NJ287, also on LinkedIn. Find me there. The website you can find everything, including past episodes and more content, is dsmsports.net. And the podcast is available on whichever podcast platform is your favorite. We're coming out with new episodes every other week, as we've been doing for nearly the last 13 years. And we have a tremendous episode for y'all today. I was so psyched to be able to speak with her. It's very timely as well, coming off the Olympics, heading into March Madness, depending on when you're listening to this. But truly a year-round storytelling operation. As I talked to Jalen Arndt, she is the Associate Director of Communications for Social Media with the NCAA. As I mentioned, they are on the precipice of March Madness. And if you're listening to this, it's to the week of March Madness, depending on when you have decided to check in. Coming off the Olympics, we talk about everything under the sun around how they balance storytelling across sports. NCAA, in her position, they are responsible for telling stories and covering not just Division One, which is the one that gets all the buzz in the pub, obviously, but Division Two, Division Three. She's a former Division Three athlete herself, a student athlete herself. So really, a lot of really cool stories happening there. If you're not familiar with the NYU women's basketball team, a Division Three school, is on an incredible winning streak now. Look that one up. And the NCAA is helping to tell that story. Among many others, just an incredible operation. Lots of good stuff. Here she is listening up to Jalen Arndt of the NCAA. I am back on the podcast with today's guest. I'm so psyched to be speaking with her. We're going to have such a great conversation today. My guest on the podcast today is Jalen Arndt. She is the Associate Director of Communications for Social Media for the NCAA. Welcome to the podcast today, Jalen.
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah, it's an exciting time of year. So many sports going, so many championships that are going to be going as well. We are, of course, on the precipice of March Madness, not to date this too much, but you are as busy as ever, so I'm so grateful for you coming on today. Before we get in the meat of our discussion and learn from you, we want to hear about you. Tell us about your career path, your stops along the way, and what you do today with NCAA, and any tips for folks that want to try to do what you do.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, my name is Jalen Arndt. I'm originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm a former Division III volleyball player, but I'll be honest, even playing sports, I had no idea that I would end up in working in sports media at the time. And I found my passion for social when I studied abroad in Australia because I was like 24 hours ahead of my friends, family, my teammates, and I created a VSCO blog back in the day, not to
Wow,
date me.
Disco girls, yeah.
Yes, I'm like bring back VSCO. And I just realized like the power of social, and it just made me feel so connected to my friends and family. And then also on the flip side, when I came back to the States, all of the people I met in Australia, we connected on Instagram and we were all became friends. And throughout our collegiate careers, like we've crossed paths and we got to meet up with each other literally through social media. So I'm
Wow.
like, this tool is crazy. And I'm like, what can I do to like work in this space? And when I got back, I pitched to the SID, Don Stoner. He's still at Augsburg. And I was like, can I take photos for you? Like
Wow.
everyone's a friend, like my roommates were soccer players. And he was like, yeah, we need people to just take photos. I'm like, cool. So I started off just taking photos for my friends who were athletes on campus. And to be very honest, though, when I graduated, like everyone, was like, oh, yeah, I got a job here, I got a job there. And I did not have a job. Like it took
Yeah.
a while. Honestly, that whole summer, I was just like waitressing and hustling it out. And then I ended up at a volleyball club and I ran their website, graphics, photographer. I did their interviews, their social. I was coaching three teams. Like I was
Wow.
doing everything. But I always like credit that because again, I didn't really know what I liked, what I didn't like, and I got to kind of touch every little part of creative at the time and
Yeah.
realize what my passion was. And then I got offered to go back to school as a volleyball GA at Augustana, and the head coach was my assistant coach in college. So she recruited me twice, and she
Wow.
knew I wanted to do social. So she's like, "Hey, run our social accounts. I'll get you connected with the athletic communications department." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Like, I'll get my degree for free, and I love her. Like, I will move. Let's do it." And when I graduated, the pandemic happened,
Oh
and
gosh.
I was like, "No." But a lot of the sports jobs were just on hold at that time. So I
Yeah.
actually got out of sports and I worked at Nexus Family Healing. And that's a nonprofit, mental health nonprofit in Minnesota. And during that time. It was during George Floyd's murder. And so to be able to work at a mental health nonprofit, and give back to a community that, has meant so much to me was
Yeah.
huge. And I also was able to learn a skill set that I was able to take with me to the NCA. So, ghostwriting for a CEO, building out podcasts, campaigns, paid social. I was
Yeah.
still going through HIPAA guidelines, like talk about a crazy approval process.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it was insane, right? And I was still freelancing on the side because I love sports. Like I couldn't completely get out, but I was like live clipping for a cable company for their social accounts on the weekends and just still kind of keep my foot one foot in, one foot out. And then the assistant job opened up at the NCA and I applied at the time and within a year got promoted as an associate director and been here for 4 years now, which is wild.
So awesome. So what does your remit look like today? Like, are you still quote unquote like on the keys, or are you mostly managing others at now at this point?
Right now, I'm managing others. I will still say I'm definitely like still in on the platforms, but I'm not posting as much anymore. And it depends on the event and the coverage. I was just in Milan for 14 days, so I was creating content, posting
So
content
cool.
there. But yeah, I feel like I'll never 100% get out of the feed because I like still being able to know how the systems work. Especially if I'm going to teach my team, I want to make sure I can do it too.
Yeah, and it's so important too. I feel like as your generation, getting into the managerial roles, like it's important to just understand how are these feeds evolving. What's it like being in there? Yes, you can use it as a user, of course, as well. But to be able to see understand when you give a direction, like how feasible is this, and how does this actually work day to day, and it's so important there for
Absolutely.
sure.
And I
So
have my team teach me, right? Like they use the
totally.
platforms different than I use them. And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on your feeds? Like what's trending in your world?" And it's like we have completely different algorithms, you know?
Totally. And I mean, I just as an aside too, you must be really enjoying to see the growth of volleyball now, professional volleyball. And when you were playing competing in undergrad, like who knew that just a few years later we would have multiple pro leagues. I'm going to a love match this weekend, so it's so cool.
That's so cool. No, I absolutely love it. I've covering volleyball, going to the volleyball championships, it just brings back the best memories. That volleyball community, I swear it's large, but like it feels like a family. Like you're one degree away from knowing someone, you've played against them or you played with them. So it's always a blast. I love seeing the growth there.
Heck yeah. Well, you talked about like having that time when you were at Nexus Healing and kind of developing, becoming a Renaissance woman in some ways of like having to know a little about a lot and having to know how to do all these things. And that is not like it's not the same path that a lot of people take into social. Like they oftentimes will have that creative production mindset and will be taking like you did it in undergrad as well, taking photos and then ultimately like doing video and content and all that as well. And then they get into that sort of dedicated content or social role. But you knew what about marketing, you knew about ads, you knew about creating newsletters, podcasts, everything under the sun, email. And so like, I guess, how did that help you? And also, what are you seeing today as you look at your junior employees? Like, are they coming up with a broader skill set, or are they specializing early and too early in some ways? Like, what's the right way to go about it nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the million-dollar question. And every time people reach out to like, hey, can we just connect? This question I get asked literally every time I connect with someone. And the advice that I give is, especially early in your career, you should say yes to everything and get involved in if maybe you're not a graphic designer, but like, hey, try it out. You're not a video person, try it out. A community manager, social data analytics, or whatever it may be, say yes to all of that because it's only going to increase what I like to call your shop talk. And especially when you sit at the head of the social like vertical, you need to understand how to communicate with all these people who are going to be the experts in that space. And if you don't know that language, then it's harder to translate your creative ideas or creative direction to those individuals. So it's only going to make you smarter. And it might open up a new path. Like you might think you're a video person, and then you're like all of a sudden like, hey, I really like the community like manager role, like in building that and posting on the feeds. Then you could switch over there. What I see now, I'll be honest, like I feel like every time we interview like our interns, I think they're coming in and they might lean way more one way than the other of like I'm strictly video, and I think it's hard when you come into a role where my team sits, because a lot of the time everyone thinks we're on campus or at a championship every weekend, and that's not the case. So we have to do a lot of remote content creation. So I need to know how your brain can work without always being the shooter, if that makes sense. So we try to get our intern involved in everything. We're like, hey, you're gonna make graphics, you're gonna do video, you're gonna run social, you're gonna pull analytics. And the more I can expose you, the better you're gonna be. And the more that I can get you connected internally and externally, you're gonna be thinking ahead of that content and how to professionally connect the dots. Like, I'm always joking, social, you're professionally connecting all the dots. Like, who's getting a collab? Who are we tagging? What are we leading with here? So I just think the more you can kind of get experience in, the better.
Totally. And it helps helps with understanding of why are we doing this? What does success look like? And because it's not always black and white. And to have that understanding of the bigger picture certainly helps a lot. And you kind of allude to this as well. And I always like asking this question for people who lead a team and who are hiring others as well. Like when you're thinking about building your team, are you like, okay, we need to find someone who's really good at short form. We need to find someone that's really good at photo. We need to find someone that's really good at community management. Like, do you look for specialists or would you rather have a team of, quote unquote, five tool players, I guess?
Yeah, honestly, this is so funny you asked me this, because my number one thing, it doesn't matter if I'm hiring an intern or an assistant or a contractor, I want to know the vibe. What is their vibe? Are they a good person? Like, do they fit with the team? Like, honestly, that's number one for me, because I can teach you the rest. I can give you the tools, the resources to be great in those specific areas that you named. But number one, I'm always like, what's the vibe? And then I would say, for me, if I'm hiring strictly for social, I need someone who like lives and breathes. Like, do you know the trends that are going on? Like, you don't necessarily need to be a sports fan, but I need you to be a social media fan. And then how can we translate that into the brand voice and tone? Which, like, I can give you our strategy, I can give you our style guide and all of those things. But to me, yeah, I'm vibe checking, and then I want to know how you use your own social and how you've worked with social with the brand.
Yeah, kind of like the old sayings, like passing like the airport test, especially in social. You're gonna be at late nights, it's long days, you're not always gonna be in the best mood. Like, can we work with these people and execute together? And so it truly is, you're truly building a team, and it's not just like a collection of individuals doing their own thing.
Yes, 1,000%.
Hell yeah. So we talked a little bit about understanding the goals. And so like, give us an idea when you sit at the NCAA level, there are so many things you touch. Like, what are the big picture goals for the NCAA, for your team and for the organization at large, I guess, and how that connects?
Absolutely. Right now, we are really building our brand. And what I mean by that is, we have just kind of evolved, and we're being social on social. We're doing best practices. We have really dove into each platform specific, but now we are maturing in the way of that maybe not every piece of content needs to hit every platform. Or, hey, if we're going to post on Instagram, but we also need it on Facebook, we're building that content for the platform. So it may not be the same piece of media, but it's the same story, because we know what works on each platform. And I think that just came with maturity. It came with having boundaries and being able to say no, being able to say yes. And then next, it's just really cultivating that community. We kind of gave ourselves a character of the proud auntie. So the NCA is
Love
here
that.
to uplift you, support you. We are your biggest cheerleaders, but we're also going to keep it real with you when, like, there's new rules or there's new legislation that passes. Like, we're going to not talk at you, we're talking with you. And those are things that come from comments. It's engaging with the student athletes, it's sharing their content, it's doing social first, it's being able to take, a structured in-venue video and then creating a social first piece that's going to hit with our target audience, which is always the student athlete. So it's been a fun transition. I'm really excited for 2026.
When you picture your audience, and it probably does differ by the platform, I'm guessing. Like, who do you think you're speaking to? Who do you want to be speaking to? Is it students? Is it alumni? Is it future students? Is it other athletes? Like, who do you picture, and who do you want to be picturing?
I would say our dream target audience is definitely the current student athletes. But when we pull our reports, I'll be honest, we're talking to kind of our generation. Like, we're talking to the millennials, are the one our biggest following target audience that we have across all of our accounts, which was definitely surprising, because I feel like everyone jokes that Facebook is like for the parent generation and like the older, but it really wasn't. It was legit the 30-year-olds that are like engaging with our content. So we're really shifting. We want to target that younger generation. And we know that has to happen with Gen Z content. It has to be social first, and it can't be this like structured, it could still be a beautiful cinematic story recap, but that's just not hitting the target audience that we want to. So yeah, we want to talk to the current ones, former student athletes, professional student athletes, Olympians, Paralympians. I mean, I feel like it's endless if you were a student athlete, and then we want to get the fans. I think that's another one that people kind of sleep on, but the fans fall in love with the stories and they will back those athletes and watch them and tune in, and that turns into ticket sales and views and revenue. So we're like, we need to also keep the fans in mind.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always talks about how good of a job NBC does with their Olympics coverage, and that's very true because they lean into that storytelling, and that's also what you guys are doing 365 days a year, every single day. Like, there's not every 2 years, every 4 years, are telling those stories behind the sports that may not be the quote unquote mainstream sports all the time. And yes, there are some of the mainstream sports that you guys are covering as well, of course, also, but that's what it's all about, those student athlete stories. And most of the people who will not play playing sports for a career for the rest of their lives. That's the old saying for those commercials or whatever.
Yes.
And something I want to touch on too is understanding what success looks like beyond the metrics. So something that I'm a big stickler on personally, but it also does seem to come up in these conversations quite a bit of, yes, we want to see whatever the number of views, impressions, accounts reached, whatever metric you're looking at is growing year over year, growing month over month, or we're hitting our goals. But it's got to be more nuanced than that, because if you want to hit the highest numbers, you would just post a bunch of whatever men's women's basketball clips all the time, or focus on just the athletes everyone knows their name. But it's beyond that, because you're trying to tell richer stories, you're trying to cover all the sports, and not all the sports are going to get the biggest numbers, and that's okay. And so, like, how do you take that into account when you're looking at how do we do this year and looking at those metrics?
Yeah, I mean, you're speaking the language. Like, we just got off of covering the Olympic Games this year, and one of our big things were we were screenshotting like Instagram, for example, and like who was accepting collabs. So even if it wasn't like a quote unquote popular athlete, but they accepted our collab, the conference, the school, the sport account, like that was a huge win for us. It also is a huge win when like the comments are back and forth and you can see their teammates like tagging like the athlete that we posted about, like those to us are still huge wins that like we want to celebrate, and we're like, wow, this was amazing. So I think there's definitely way more additional like wins and storytelling efforts that go way beyond the analytics. 'Cause like you said, if we were really playing that play, like we would just be posting certain sports and certain people all year round.
And so when you're looking at like the balance of your coverage, and I do want to get into the Olympics, and we will for sure, because that's such an exciting thing you guys get to be part of, and so many great NCAA athletes that are competing in there. And there's a whole other podcast we could do about the importance of Olympic sports with all these things, and making sure that we keep those sports going for Team USA and all that. But like, do you actually have like are you looking keeping trying to keep track of, we've had this many posts about this sport, this many posts about this sport, this many posts about this, like how nuanced does it get, or is it really just more of like a gut feel type thing, or wherever the best stories are, you're gonna go there?
Yeah, we actually really started honing in on our strategy this year of going off a division first. So D1, D2, D3, and kind of spreading the love across there. And then the next layer, once we continue to mature, is really going to dive into the sport. But it also depends on like who's in season. And for us, like, again, we want to keep the main thing the main thing. We don't want to have to try to fit a square in a circle. So like if there isn't a story, it's just not a story, right? So we really do try to find our efforts in certain areas, but I'm a stickler and like my team will testify to this. So I'll be like, hey, like we've had a lot of D1 content this week. Like, have we looked at this Division II story? There's a Division III story here. Like, I'm a former D3 athlete, so like I have love for Division III. So we really try to do that. And then one of my favorite pieces of storytelling that we get to do with the NCAA is connecting all three divisions. So a lot of the time there might be a sibling that plays or a parent that's a coach and their daughter plays or something. And like those stories to me, it's like check, check, check. Like now we just got a BOGO piece of content.
And especially covering those D2 and D3 levels, does that require a different type of lift for you guys? Because like there, you it may be harder to get hold of content. You might have to go on campus, whereas some of the other schools, you don't need to, because you can just grab it from the cloud or from wherever. They already have that stuff. Or even the fact that like there's the D1 stories are oftentimes already being told by some of the mainstream media outlets or some of the local media coverage or whatever. And so, like, how do you guys try to take that into account? Does it require a heavier lift at times to tell the stories of the smaller schools where they're not as well resourced?
Yeah, I would say it's easier to definitely find the Division One because of all of the external media that's already covering those stories. And to be honest, a lot of the time they're the ones who are breaking the news on the story, and
Yeah.
we're kind of a couple of days later on repurposing from their story or multiples to kind of package it together to make it our own. The Division Two, Division Three, we might catch wind from an SID because they emailed someone internally, like, "Hey, like this team's about to come up on a 100 game winning streak at home.
It's
Like, we would love
NYU
for you
women's
to."
basketball.
Yes. And so, like, hey, like that's coming up. And then, like, I tell my team all the time, like, be social on social. Like, we will slide in the DMs to the athletes. Like, if we know, like, hey, we heard like your cousin is famous or something, gonna be at the game. Like, do you have baby pictures of you guys together? Like, so I feel like it's a little bit easier, but harder in the same way. But like, we can tell the story more holistically because we're kind of breaking the news per se, maybe on the
Yeah.
Division Two, Division Three, where D1, we have to get a little more creative on how can we spin it in our own storytelling way and not just like copy and paste what like ESPN has done or
Yeah.
something.
Let's touch on that a little bit of like what the role is of the NCAA. Like, especially when schools, especially the D1 schools, have such huge content operations now in some of them have dozens, if not over 100 people who are working on content creation. And so it's like, are you guys ultimately, do you see yourselves as, okay, we can amplify what they're doing and we can do some collabs, maybe we can, or to like, maybe as you mentioned earlier, put our spin on to some extent. Like, how do you think about the fact that like they're okay, like their stories are getting out there, let's focus on the lesser told stories, or is NCAA ultimately like a clearinghouse, like, yes, we're gonna repost this and collab with this and amplify that. Like, how do you think about your role in terms of like being at the center of all that content?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we're definitely open to collabs and amplifying, especially when it has a direct NCAA tie and there's no like sponsorships on the post. We're 100% fair game. But for us, like where we sit, it's really being strategic because we have access to footage that not everybody else does. So especially if someone has already been at a championship or we have all of this like footage that hasn't even seen the light of day. So that's
Yeah.
a really easy way for us to kind of come in on the story with like our assets that no one else has. So I think that's really important. And it's a lot. Like you have to be like knowledgeable of like this story or this athlete. Like were they at a national championship? Do they hold an NCAA record? Were they a woman of the year or an elite scholar? Like any awards that we give out, like that's kind of where we can chime in with our own storytelling effort, kind of if ESPN or someone else jumped in there.
Yeah.
For us, it's really about diversifying the feeds, getting different stories out there that hit different pillars for us. And then like to me, it's using our platforms to help continue to build the student athletes' brands. Like you see these people and their amazing stories, and they're trying to build out their followers. Like we talked about earlier, a lot of these athletes don't become professional athletes. And so if they want to talk about what they want to do post sport, like, yeah, let's get that on our account because I'm sure someone here would love to hire you after you graduate, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And are you like the conductor sitting in the seat kind of, or like, what does your team look like when it comes to like, hey, like I'm gonna assign you this story, or I'm gonna assign you this story. Like, how does all that work? And I guess like give us an idea of what your team looks like as well. Like, do you have them covering certain platforms or certain content types or certain sports? And does the staff like do you staff up quite a bit around championship season? Like give us an idea of that, and also of course like how the work actually gets put together.
Yeah, so we use Asana, which is like our project management tool, and I like live or die by Asana. It tells us what's happening, what's coming up. But under what sits under me is I have an assistant director of social, and then I have an intern as well, and I'm like the social vertical, and then my counterpart Kai, she oversees creative and video. So she leads video, and then she has two designers under her. And they will help create stuff. They've created templates for the social team, as well, but we're always in constant communication. But a story might pop up, and then we're in Slack. We're like, hey, this story's coming up. We may talk about, like, hey, how do we want to go about telling this? What access to footage do we have to make it our own? And then we throw it into Asana and then it runs its course and we assign it out. But all of us on my team, we are on all platforms. We cover all sports, all divisions, to current, to former, to professional athletes. So we are in the feeds constantly. And I joke with them, our plans are always about 80% done, and 20% we try to live in the moment and try to join the chat when it's hot.
Hell yeah. Oh, I'm having a little bit of like ADD just trying to picture your Asana boards right now. They're probably just endlessly crazy throughout the year, and even more so now between the Olympics and crossover season and March Madness and all that fun stuff. But that's part of the job. People don't realize behind the feeds there is a lot of moving parts. That's for damn sure.
Yes, it's never just a tweet.
You touched too on just the rise of student athletes kind of telling their own stories in many ways, and that's not a super recent phenomenon, but in a more systemized way. And of course, like the ability to actually monetize themselves now with their NIL. That's like you if you have a really big career as a volleyball player in college, you can make a pretty good chunk of change to take with you after you graduate if you can monetize your NIL. So how has that change the way that you guys work as a team in any way? Like, are they more eager to be involved in the content? They're more eager to collab. Do you have like media days that are a little more involved now, or less involved because are you giving them access to assets that are, like, what does the rise of the student athlete creator like mean for you and your team? How has that changed over the years?
Yeah, we love it. Like, I
Oh
absolutely
yeah.
like love seeing the athletes come in and they have their own like Osmo Pocket or they're recording. A lot of the times when they come in for like interviews, like they're like, "Hey, can I set my phone up and record?" We're like, "Yeah, absolutely."
Yeah.
And like, "Can you get my picture? Can you get a video?" Like BTS, like I am so here for that, and we will share all of the footage with them. And to be honest, now I think since we have matured and we've really got to build this community, athletes are reaching out to us like, "Hey, I would love to do a day in the life and like collab with you guys." And we're like, "Oh, great. Yeah, we would love that." So to us, I think they see the importance of when their content is on our feeds because of the followers in the community that we have built. And so to see that is amazing. And we are always game to collab with our athletes, like seeing their like POV, like that's the type of content that we want as well. So we're fair game, but I mean, I love to see it. And we're always down like car wash day for like women's basketball, like at the athletes, they're in the hallway making their own TikToks. They're doing
Yeah.
BTS. Like we live for it. And if I was them, I would be doing the exact same thing too.
Is that become part of your programming planning as well? Like, we want to do a get ready with me with a student athlete, and let's and then if you have those ideas, how does it trickle down from there to like identifying the best athletes to work with and then making it happen? Like, I imagine it's easier said than done, but when you guys are able to do it, it results some great content.
Absolutely. Like for me, I always go back, like pre-production and research is always going to be your best friend. And I think people sleep on that a little bit in the social space. Like they don't, or people who don't know, like there's just so much that goes into it. And so if you do your research on an athlete, you're going to know which one is like a social person and who's not. So when you're reaching out to make the ask to do a get ready with me, I would hope you did your research and you find that this person has done a get ready with me once a week for the past 5 months. And you're
Right.
like, the best candidate to do. Or like a great example, I remember when I was covering the women's final four, Angel Reese. She went viral for her famous TikTok dance when she scored, and she her goal was to hit a million followers during that final four, and we created a ton of content with her. She remembered me after they won. She was like, "I want to make that TikTok." And so we found her, and she was like, "Jay, grab my phone," and she made her TikTok, and like she knew the value of it, but then like we also knew like that was her thing. Like we weren't asking her to like do something out of her comfort zone. Like that was her brand. Like that was her TikTok dance. So to me, it's doing the research. Like not everyone is gonna want to be a social person or grab the mini mic and give you the energy that you maybe need for a piece of content. So pre-production, do your research, find the athlete, and then don't be afraid to slide in the DMs.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. I'm just picturing, like, as you guys are in the feeds, whether it's in the off season or during the season as well, of just like saving profiles or saving TikToks or saving reels. I mean, like, this per like look at this person doing this. We should work with that person, or let's find someone. Like, and I'm even just like, again, like freaking out over thinking about all the student athlete profiles you guys could be tracking. Like, It's an incomprehensible number, and I don't, and probably
Insane.
impossible to really wrap your head around a little bit there.
Yeah, but it makes it fun. I mean, everyone has their own story, their own brand, like what they love. And for us, like every year, it's something new, it's something different. And we love seeing the content. We've actually done a ton of research this year and like are following our student athletes on our accounts because it just cultivates our feed for what we want to find anyways. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, no, it's really smart to be able to, that way your following feed is everyone you should be following, and you're not subject to the whims of the algorithm at times.
Exactly.
When it comes to working with the schools and conferences, I guess, like, who are you working with the most? Are you working with conferences generally? You're working with individual schools? You're working with, and usually is it working with someone who's on the digital social side, or with it more of the SID side? Like, what do those collaborations look like, and what's the how often is or not how often, but what do the communications look like as well?
Yeah, I would say it depends on what the story is and where it's coming from. So sometimes I feel like the conference offices, they have their own content pillars and their goals that they're trying to reach. So we'll be in communication like, hey, like you had an awesome community engagement piece. Like, can we collab on this? Or, hey, we have an awareness month coming up. Are you all doing any efforts around blank? Like, how can we amplify what you're doing already? Because I think a lot of the times, like, we're very similar to the conference offices. We're just covering everybody. And so we kind of have the same goals, and that's really helpful. But when we get on site and we get closer, honestly, it's working with their SIDs, or depending on the program, they might have a social lead for their sport that we're working with. But to me, on the social side, it's always fun to know who's like on the keys on the accounts because that's us just talking to each other in the DMs, or when you see them in real life, you're like, oh my gosh, like we've been commenting back and forth on each other's posts for years. So I love seeing the face behind the profile.
That's just the best. I freaking love that. I imagine just even the introduction of the collab tool has like just changed the game completely over the years. Like that's just a
Oh,
whole different thing.
it's so nice. Like for us, like, I mean, we always prioritize the athlete, the conference, the sport account, athletic account, and then like that fifth one we can really play around with there. But man, that has helped so much. I mean, especially during like March Madness or Olympics, Paralympics, like big event coverage, we're able to take some of that lift off of our membership and we can create for you, and then they can just amplify. Like that takes a ton of work off their plate.
And I'm curious how that works, like from both sides then as well. Like if you are working or talking to a conference, talking to a school, whatever it might be, and they're like, we have this really awesome story. The student athlete did this, this, and this, whatever, and we're creating some content around it. Does that mean for you guys, you go, okay, well, we were gonna maybe tell a story, or like, does that mean like we're gonna like use our resources, use the time that we have and our people to do something different because they got that covered. We'll do a collab, we'll amplify what we can. Like, do you purposely differentiate what you're working on and understand what the others are working on because that way you're covering more surface area, I guess.
I think it really depends on the access because if the schools or membership have direct access to that student athlete and can get the story, then we're like, yeah, you guys should lead with that story and go. So sometimes we hear about the story after the school has posted, and then we will take it and kind of repurpose it, add our spin on it. And then we obviously send them a collab back and let them know that we shared their story. And for them, that's still a huge win. In some cases, though, they might hit us up beforehand to be like, hey, this is coming. We want to basically give you a heads up if you want to do anything. And then that lets our team kind of ideate, like, okay, one, can we go on site? If that's yes or no, then here's the all right, when do we do a custom graphic? Do we try to get on a Zoom call? Is there someone else that we can get to make the content for us? Do we hire a contractor? Or do we just use photo assets and do like a swipe and tell that story? So us, it just depends, but obviously the best content is when they can be directly with the student athlete. And if they can do that, we're happy to provide questions or amplify it when they send it back to us.
Well, I imagine too, what could be cool is that as they're producing content every single day, every single week, whatever during the season, and you guys have the most eyeballs on you during championship season. That's when you have them, I'm sure. And so you can bring that story back, or bring it back up and be like, hey, you're watching this person right now compete in whatever track cross country championships. Did you know that this person had this? And here's a story that may have been produced 3 months ago, but is really relevant now and gives even more meaning to what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is like the bread and butter right there.
Yeah. And I'm at, like, this is a good, maybe a good segue, maybe not, of the Olympics and how, like, you have athletes who may have been competing a decade or more ago, or may have been competing last week with NCAA, then they're competing in Milano Cortina, or, in a couple of years, they'll be in LA as well. So, like, what does the Olympics look like for you guys? And has it become a bigger deal since you've been there, or is it about the same? And you're on the ground in Milano Cortina, like, what are you guys trying to accomplish there, and how do you then work alongside the various NG or the various Olympic committees and Team USA and various teams as well?
Yeah, our partnership with Olympians and Paralympians Made Here has grown every single year since I've been here, and I feel like we're still just scratching the surface. Like LA 28, watch out. I swear it's going to be crazy.
Hell yeah.
But for us, we have a huge partnership with Team USA, and what has been awesome, especially for the Winter Games, I was very blessed. I got to go to Paris last year for like 24 days. I was just in Milan for 14 days. But Team USA, they actually gave us a slot during their Team USA welcome experience, which is the athletes got to go through Ralph Lauren, Skims, Nike. They got their Getty headshots. Like they try on their Olympic ring, and then they got to come to the Olympians Made Here setup. And we
Wow.
had about anywhere, I would say, between 3 to 5 minutes with each athlete. And our goal was to, one, create content for the membership and conferences, schools back home. So we would ask questions, we would upload it to a Google Drive, we'd send an email out, notify them, and then they could create, edit whatever content we got and post on their accounts. Second was creating content for the NCAA channels. And that was a huge success. And like I said, we got to sit down. It was 63 athletes that came through, and do interviews with. It was literally insane, diving into all of their stories. We made combo pieces, personality pieces. But yeah, it was, I mean, it's unreal to think about. But for us, it's really telling the pipeline of the Olympic athletes that really start at NCAA. And Winter Games is fun because you have athletes who were a track and field or a swimmer, and now they're on Team USA bobsled team. And you're like, how in the world did you end up here? Like, tell us about that. And then you have like women's ice hockey, who's 100% NCAA with
Yeah.
current student athletes on the team.
Seriously. Yeah,
Like,
two incredible women's athletes, especially Abby Murphy and Caroline Harvey. Good Lord.
what? And then you just competed for a gold medal, and then you're flying back home, and you have an opportunity to compete in the NCAA Frozen Four. Like, it is such a cool story. So to be able to show kind of that pipeline from collegiate to Olympics, is really kind of our bread and butter. And like I said, stay tuned for LA 28 because we're only going to keep getting bigger and
So
better.
cool. And I really love too the fact that, like, you guys are out there and really making the most of your time and capabilities out there of serving. You're serving the schools, you're serving the NCAA platforms, and you're really earning every penny and then some of whoever it costs to go over there and do that. So my hat's off to you, and obviously some great stories to be able to tell, and some great results too for Team USA and all these former NCAA athletes for sure.
So fun. Yeah. If you've never been to an Olympics, you definitely should. It's a surreal experience. Yeah, I mean, I got like a little emotional like when you're at the games. Like it is such a cool opportunity. So I encourage anyone if you can to go.
Well, if you need someone to, like, hold your hard drives or whatever up in LA, like, I will be there with bells on.
Hey, you're down the street, so
Totally. I want to touch to a few minutes left here with Jalen Arnt. She is the Associate Director of Communications for Social Media for the NCAA. I feel like we're just getting started. This conversation has been flowing so well. I love it so much. When it comes to, like, the quote unquote bigger sports and the smaller sports, like, and we touched earlier on volleyball, and volleyball has been popular really for collegiate volleyball, women's volleyball in particular, men's volleyball growing a little bit here as well, but women's volleyball has been super popular for years, and now of course we're seeing it manifest in professional, but, like, certainly the NCAA has helped amplify and tell those stories as these programs have continued to grow, as the viewership continues to grow. And so, like, do you look at sort of, hey, volleyball is really growing a lot more, mainstream media is paying attention to it, and therefore, we should throw gas in the fire and do a lot more with it? Or is it kind of more vice versa of, like, hey, we did our job, we got, and we may not need to amp, like, we still want to cover it, obviously, but let's focus on the sports that need our help a little bit more as well, so that we can get them to the same place, same healthy place. Like, do you think about lifting up those sports that kind of need your help more, or throwing gas in the fire to make these mainstream sports go even more mainstream?
Yeah, I think It really depends on the moment. Because, like, volleyball, for example, like we said, it's been popping off, it's booming. So, around volleyball championship time, like, I definitely want our team to enter the chatter when it's hot. And, like, we should have volleyball content banked and ready and stories that we want to tell. But in the same breath, and like, when I'm looking at the feeds and scrolling through our content and I just see a ton of volleyball, like, we're not a volleyball account. So, I'm like, hey,
Yeah.
there's literally, here's the laundry list of other sports that are currently going on. I know there's got to be other stories. Let's look at our social listening. Let's see what else is out there. But that is something that I try to take a ton of pride in, is kind of being a more even and treating all of the sports and keeping like, hey, like we haven't had a fencing piece in a while. Hey, we have bowling coming up, or hey, do you know about golf or tennis? And especially our accounts that do not have a like Division One sport account associated with them, we try to add those sports and those stories to the brand account and help uplift them. And until we get unlimited resources, which I'm sure every social media manager out there
Right.
is, you know, they need five more people. We just can't run every account at a full bandwidth, and so we just try to spread the love as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is it truly is a zero-sum game. You only have so many resources, and so you have to make decisions all the time, and you don't take that lightly because those are things that like if you do a story on this sport, then that means today you're not gonna have to have time to, or effort or ability to do a story on this sport, and it's but you truly do see the results. I mean, because as you see these sports continue to grow, and that post or that story could go viral, and all of a sudden now you have that many more fans and eyeballs on it for the future, and maybe it drives the ESPNs or Yahoos or whatever to cover it as well and send more people to the championships, wherever it might be. So it's truly,
Exactly.
I don't envy you having to make those decisions, but it's gotta be really fulfilling and gratifying when you are able to tell those stories, especially for the sports that don't get to see the spotlight quite as much.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of spotlight, I want to get to this before it gets up to terrible stat. I promise we'll get to it in a moment, but I'm having so much fun talking to Jalen. It is March. You can quote John Rothstein if you're a men's basketball fan. You probably know all of his sayings or whatever. But it's March Madness time. So I guess just like, how do you approach March Madness? Are you trying to find new ways to cover it every year? Like the tournament, luckily, I won't push it on the spot to ask what the right number of teams is, but the 64-team bracket on Thursday, dude, stick with that for me for the rest of my life, please. Do you guys try to find new things, or like, how do you kind of approach each year of like, hey, let's execute. We know what we're good at. We know how to do this. We've done this before. Or is it like, let's one up ourselves. Let's try this. Let's experiment with this. Like, how do you kind of balance the let's we let's if it ain't broke, don't fix it versus let's kind of break our systems a little bit.
Yeah, I would say it's a balance, right? I feel like I'm constantly just evening out, like, okay, we know like this filler content. We know the content that we have to check the box. We're like, yep, we're doing this. But like I said before, we try to have the content plans about 80% done. And
Yeah.
that 20% is really going to be listening to the platforms, listening to the community, and seeing what teams, like, who's the Cinderella this year? Who's going to make the upset? Or how can we connect the dots of someone who maybe they just donated a court back to their local high school? Or, oh, we have access. I think that's something else that I like to joke with our team when we're on site. You have to take advantage of where your credential gets you, because these are our championships.
Yeah.
We have the access, and like everyone is already seeing like where the ESPN camera is. But like, are you back a house? Are you getting locker room? Are you getting like the legacy court drop? Like, where can we be that not everybody else can see? And that's where
Yeah.
you're gonna have those breakthrough moments. So that's super exciting for me. The other thing that I love with our team is really just knowing, like, when the championship, especially here in Indy with all three divisions and NIT, I want to really challenge our team to, like, how could we weave all of those championships into one piece? So, can we find a connection amongst some athlete who's going to be there that has a connection D1, D2, D3, and NIT? Like, that would be a crazy story. So, those are things that we're constantly looking for. But where I sit and where my team is, it's really kind of off the court content that we're looking at, because we have like a March Madness D2, D3, and NIT accounts that are running that play by play.
Yeah. I mean, I forget which schools it was, but I will say like the craziest finish to a championship ever was, I think it was the D2 men's basketball championship. I forget what year it was, but it was probably like 10 plus years ago now. And Just Google, if people are listening or watching, Google it and you will see. I think it's like one of the craziest endings for a championship game ever. If you know what I'm talking about, Jalen,
Yeah,
I
I'm
don't
pretty
know if you
sure.
do.
I don't know what the teams were, but I feel like I can see the video in my
Just some
head.
wild stuff. And like when it comes to staffing up as well, like whether it's contractors, freelancers, or whatever, like how do you guys go about, and it may not be just your team, I'm sure the others as well on the March Madness accounts, like of making sure that they, like, is there a playbook or like a training session of like, this is what we do, this is what we stand for, this is what you should be shooting for? Like, how do you make sure that those people that are maybe only working for the NCAA for a couple of weeks, like, know how you guys work and know what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, that is always a challenge, right? Especially when you're hiring contractors who maybe just aren't always in your feed or always in your community constantly. But luckily, like we always most of the time have great contractors that come back year after year,
Yeah,
so
like
they
go-to
know.
people that know you
Yeah,
already
or
anyway.
then they're bringing their people in, so like they're already managed. The contractors are overseeing other contractors that are their friends. But for us, it's really looking back at what we did like the previous years and letting them know like, hey, this is what we want to get. Or honestly, it goes back to like, hey, this is where your credential gets you. This is where you can shoot from. Like, let's see what happens in the area that you have access to.
Yeah.
And then it really builds the workflow and the system of how you gather the content on site, how does it get to the editor, and then how does it get to the social people to get it out there. So that's always really fun. I mean, I've had an opportunity to work the Women's Final Four for 3 years on the March Madness WBB account, and it is an adrenaline junkie's dream. Like, heart is pounding. But yeah, that I think that's really special. And then just hiring contractors in, I think having a style guide and almost like a creative like cheat sheet one pager, like you don't want to overwhelm them, but being able to give them like a cheat sheet of, hey, here's our watermarks, or this is how we are gonna end, this is our end slate for every video that we would like to use, and here's our font, and just having them to have that in their like back pocket will just help speed up the content creation.
Indulge me for a moment as I geek out here a little bit, because of where I work and all that. Like, what does the operational actually look like? Are people uploading to a photo shelter? Are they Bluetoothing? Are they uploading to Slack in real time? And how does that, and is someone clipping using whatever WSC or something along those lines? Like, give us an idea of like what the madness looks like.
Oh my gosh. Well, mostly for like, I can speak on Women's Final Four.
Yeah.
Like, the shooter's on the court, and then we are all mic'd up. So we're all like walkie-talkies on. And so we can know what's happening. So, especially if someone will be on the court, someone could be second or third level getting the overhead shot as well. So, if someone, like for example, Caitlin Clark broke records at the championship. So, someone might get the shot on the court level, and then you're walkie and you're like, hey, I just got shot too. I'm on third level. I can pair them together. Then someone is literally running those SD cards down to the editor,
Well,
and she or him, whoever they hire, are putting those clips together, and they're cutting them either 9:16 or 4:05, and then they're live uploading into Slack. And then you have your community managers that are then taking to the platform. So it will go Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it may be, Instagram story. It sounds like it might be slow, but when I tell you, these people are literally like, it's like NASCAR pit stop. Like, it is so fast. It's a well-oiled machine, and the content moves. And so it is really, really cool. But the walkies have helped. We didn't have them 1 year I worked the championship, and after that we got them, and that was a
gosh,
lifesaver.
it really is like, it's like it truly is like war room mentality, like just like moving
Yeah.
a mile a minute.
And like everyone's slacking. I mean, and you have different channels that is like, this is only for, you know, the editors to upload content. And then if you're talking about how you want to post it in a different channel, or hey, here's NCAA photo drops. And so like we have a live transmit that our photos are coming in, or
Yeah.
hey, we can clip four broadcast clips. Like, here's the clips that we want. Like, let's take those. So, I mean, yeah, the platforms are moving and Slack is popping.
How do you think about the like emerging and newer-ish platforms? Like, when is the right time to create a Blue Sky account or a Threads? And then how much do we fragment? Like, do we create then an NCAA women's basketball account, an NCAA wrestling account? Like, how is it? How do you guys approach that over the years? Because the platforms continue to multiply.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I think the best advice too, especially when like new platforms come out and you are overseeing a brand account, I think no matter what, you should just go and secure your handle,
Oh.
because someone's going to go and take your username that you have, and then you have to add like an underscore or something, you know? So
Yeah.
Go secure your handle. It doesn't mean you need to activate there. And then it's really just evaluating, like, again, the resources that you have. So, for example, I think one that I can speak on is like on the NCAA TikTok. Like, we've had that account for a long time, but we haven't really poured a ton of resources into it. And it li we literally just reached 100,000 followers in 2025, which to me seems like we're a little behind the game, but still, the first 100,000 is always the hardest. So we finally got there, and but we're feeding the beast and we're giving it what it needs because now we've matured and we've kind of been able to stabilize the other accounts, and we can dive into more vertical storytelling for that platform specifically. But you can only do what you can. So I think, like, as a social media manager, like, you should look at where you're getting your highest engagement at and pour into those accounts. And then once you kind of stabilize there, then look at, like, hey, maybe we should create a TikTok. What would that look like? Like, how could you map out the first year of managing that platform and see what you can do? But don't force it. Like, you don't, not everyone needs to be a TikTok account on if you run a brand account or whatever. Like, if Instagram or Twitter's your jam, like, then ride it out.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate what you said earlier too around like we're not just gonna push one button and have the same content go to the same platform, every single platform, the same packaging and all that. Like that's just not the shotgun approach is not the way to go about it.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
The last thing I'll ask you, and it makes me a quick one because I again I can keep you all day, Jalen, and but you have to prepare for March Madness and all that, of course. Is when you do when it, whether it's in the summer or after the championships in the winter or after the championships in the spring, whenever it is, when you're looking at how did our team perform, like what is that if you have one slide or one set of KPIs, like what are those numbers that you're paying attention closest to? Are you looking at like viewers or new followers or impressions? Like what are some of those top line metrics?
I would say engagements and impressions. At the end of the day, I feel like the platforms are changing where a lot of, like, even video views and impressions are changing on each platform.
Oh,
But for us, like, I think the biggest thing is we want people to engage with our content. We want athletes to uplift each other. We want their stories to be shared and told. So I think engagements are still going to be number one for us. And
yeah.
then really looking at how many eyeballs are on our stuff. Like, even if people aren't engaging, but we have over 1 million impressions, we're like, wow, like, that a lot of people still saw this content. Another one I think is really fun and I want to dive more into is like the sends on Instagram. I think is really important because people are sending and sharing to their story, or maybe they are sending it to a DM to their friend, like, to be like, oh, look at this. This is really cool. And I think that metric is going to be what's up and coming, is where are the sends going?
Totally. No, like those are more like the more meaningful engagements as well. Like those, if someone thought enough of this because to share it to whether their story or to their friends in a DM or whatever. And that's why I think impressions can make come kind of a comeback. Like at times, like people have started saying, "Oh no, impressions don't matter as much as engagements do." But if people are DMing this stuff, then it may not show up as another like or a comment, but it's gonna show up as more impressions because it's getting more eyeballs on it. And but for you guys as well, because of the types of stories you guys are telling, it you want to listen. That emotion, that like that heartfelt thing, and maybe that means pressing heart on something to show that like this story did deliver something that elicited that emotion. That's what it's all about in the day of telling those meaningful stories, whether it's at the whether it's a buzzer beater or some crazy cool story and path and journey that a student athlete took. So it's just
I
a
love that.
cool balance of that stuff.
It is. It is.
Well, Jalen, we're gonna have some more fun with you in our sets and spice segment. We're gonna see how your volleyball skills are going in a figurative way. But first episode shareable stat coming up right now. Just awesome stuff. Being able to speak with Jalen Arnt, Associate Director of Communications for Social Media with the NCAA. Just what an awesome job that she does, her and her team, of really telling meaningful, cool, inspirational stories and trying to keep track of it all across. Hundreds of schools, thousands and thousands of student athletes. I don't know how she and her team does it all, but they do an incredible job and are getting ready to tell some more good stories, of course, this time of year between winter sports and spring sports. They did a good job with the Olympics as well, as you heard about in my interview. But stick around because we're going to have some more fun with Jalen in our Sets and Spikes segment. But first, this episode's a shareable stat. Simple Shareable Stat looks at a recent study from Buffer, the social media management platform, and they did a study of benchmarking across several thousand brand posts across all their clients, among others. And they found a lot of stats, but the one I'm going to point out today is Instagram. Instagram saw a 26% decrease in engagement year over year from 2024 versus 2025. So 2025 was 26% lower engagement across the board for brand accounts. So if you've been seeing your engagements go down, your engagement rate go down, it's not just you. It is something that's happening with Instagram. It may be that more people are spending time in Reels and they are, engaging differently with that content, or just deciding how to use their engagement differently as well. But we heard about in an interview with Jalen that, sends is becoming a bigger and bigger focus for them. We've heard about that for a while, of course, with Adam Mosseri and the Instagram team focusing on the fact that a lot of content is getting shared into the DMs, and that's where people are truly engaging with the content, with their group chats, with their friends, and that's why sends is an important metric, and we'll certainly want to pay attention to quite a bit. We also heard in the interview and just overall too, the value of comments, and not just comments that are just basic comments and a plus one or whatever, but when someone actually comments, whether they are tagging someone else, do you know how many comments are tagging somebody else? Because that can lead to more viral reach or meaningful comments that someone has really been affected by the content that they're watching or viewing or whatever it may be. Or the kind of content when someone says, "This is awesome," or give the admin a raise, or something along those lines as well. So, depth of engagement is really something that's continuing to be a bigger thing as well. So, you may not be getting quite as much of the double taps, but you may be getting more meaningful engagement and be able to keep track of that and what's being engaged on, what's the power of the storytelling, the substance of it as well. So, certainly an interesting topic too that we can talk about for days, for ages, but talk about it amongst yourselves, see how it's affecting your metrics and maybe adding a richer layer of storytelling and context to what you're seeing in the results. So, again, that shareable stat is a 26% decrease in 2025 versus 2024 for engagements on brand accounts. So super interesting. Talk about it, think about it, ponder it. More importantly, stick around for the Sets and Spikes segment with Jalen Arndt of the NCAA. Right back to this episode's shareable stat, and I'm joined once again by Jalen Arndt. She is the Associate Director of Communications for Social Media with the NCAA. Jalen, you kicked ass your interview. Are you now ready for some Sets and Spikes?
Let's
All
go.
right, let's see if you still got it. We'll see how your kill percentage looks after these questions. Now, speaking of, number one, you mentioned playing college volleyball. So give us a scouting report of Jalen Arndt, the collegiate volleyball player.
Oh, I would have to say my senior year, we went undefeated in conference play, and that was probably one of my favorite years ever. I loved that team. I loved my coach, all the coaches. But yeah, going undefeated my senior year, I mean, you got to go out with a bang.
That was so awesome. And so you were an outside hitter, and so I'm at, were you just like intimidating on the court and people were afraid when you went up over those spikes?
I would say I definitely was a good hitter, but blocking was my favorite because you get to take something away from someone, and that was where my passion was. So if a middle was running the slide and I could block it, that was like my favorite play.
There you go. And I was mentioning this to Jalen offline as well. If anyone has not been to a women's college volleyball match, go and you will see why it's awesome. Or go to a professional volleyball match too, if you're able to, because there's plenty of those going around now as well between MLV and Love Volleyball. So great to see it. And we have one former volleyball player who is kicking ass now in her post-volleyball life as well. Number two, I'm always interested in this one. We didn't touch on this too much, but you mentioned you went back to school and were a GA and earned your master's. So just tell us, like, what was your master's thesis about and what your learnings were?
Oh, and my thesis was so fun. I actually wrote on basically Division II and how student athletes engage with content. And when I did my research, it really found out that student athletes were on Snapchat and Instagram, but when they wanted to find their sport account information, they knew they had to go to Twitter. So I thought that was really interesting where they
Wow.
spent most of their time on two different platforms. But obviously, if you work in the sports world, even a couple of years ago, everyone went to Twitter first because it was like the live updates. But now you're seeing that kind of switch, and you see brands and sport accounts on Instagram. We don't have Snapchat. I feel like that's a whole different ballpark, but very interesting to see how
Yeah.
student athletes navigate the social space.
What a really cool thesis for you that's very useful in your job. And I mean, shoot, we didn't even touch on like the idea of Snapchat in general, which is still very popular among Gen Alpha, Gen Z. Maybe not so much with the we're engaging with brand accounts, but they're certainly on the platform a lot with messaging and the Snap Map and all that. And heck, I guess as a quick aside, like what have you seen from a strategic perspective with Twitter over the past few years since the move from Twitter to X and Elon Musk and all that? Like, have you guys seen the numbers? Have they remained the same? Has your guys' resources been the same, or have you stepped back a little bit? And is there, because there's no really no still no other place for live engagement though, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're never gonna get rid of, I keep calling it Twitter. I know it's
Oh,
X.
I
I'm
do
gonna
too. No, Twitter all day.
convert it. But I feel like we're never going to get rid of it. It is one of our largest followings that we have on Twitter. We have almost 2 million, but from an engagement perspective, Instagram is really the king for us. And
Yeah.
so we kind of switched our strategy to we create for Instagram and TikTok, and Twitter and Facebook might be our secondary accounts that we'll still get content up, but we're really leading with how is this going to perform on Instagram
Yeah.
and TikTok. Because it's where our student athletes are, that's where the engagement is for us. So that's kind of how I feel like we've switched in the past year, or a couple of years, honestly. But yeah, we're definitely not getting rid of it anytime soon, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
it's unavoidable. And in those crazy moments when something crazy happens in the real time, like people are going to be reacting on Twitter, but there's people who are completely off Twitter, who have just deleted it from their life. And so I guess they are just going and popping off in the Instagram comments as soon as a post is up or on the TikTok comments. And it's interesting to see the migration of that sort of real-time engagement as the Twitter audience has just naturally diminished a little bit over the years.
Read.
This would be a good one. I'm excited about to hear about this, and these are always fun ones. So tell me, number three, the most viral, and assuming it's different, the most impactful social media posts or piece of content that NCAA has produced in your time there so far.
Oh, that is a good one. I would say the most viral, it was super fun summer games, the Team USA men's gymnastics. We had a piece go over 1 million on TikTok, which is always a fun one. So that one would be the viral. The most impactful one, I would say we had an amazing interview. We have a collaboration with Team Impact, which basically they match a kid who maybe has some medical issues going through cancer treatment, and they match them with a team in the collegiate space, so Division One, Two, or Three, and they become their additional teammate. And we were talking to a current student athlete, Anthony, and he actually went through cancer treatment and he was a part of Team Impact. And just hearing his journey and how being a part of a team just like really gave him a drive and ambition, and something to fight for. Like, I was interviewing him and I'm not gonna lie, like, that was the first time in an interview that I was like getting very emotional in. His story is just, it is one for the books, and if you can go check out his story, go follow him. But yeah, Team Impact holds a special place in my heart.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's just meaningful stories. I mean, yes, yeah, we get seduced by all the, the crazy championships and buzzer beaters and all that, but there's such powerful stories that happen, off the court as well, or off the field, or whatever sport you're talking about. And as I say, something that's really, it always sticks in the, having worked at really low level of sports and small leagues, and it kind of, it connects to the D2 and D3 stories you got to get to tell, is that when it comes to like kids, if you bring an 8-year-old kid and they're talking to a D3, whatever player, that athlete is still a heroic athlete to them, and it doesn't matter. They don't care if it's, the biggest league in the world or a D3 school or whatever. And those things never get old to me. Like it still matters for those kids that get to look up to those athletes. So I love that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember as a kid, not to go on a tangent, but my dad used to bring me to the NAIA basketball games, and I thought like I was watching the WNBA at the time.
Totally.
I was just a fan of sports. So I mean, I've been there. It's so cool.
Yeah, everyone needs that reminder that the big time is wherever you make it, and for kids, the big time is wherever they are at the time. That's great. All right, next one for you, Jalen. Tell me this is a good one. You get to lead and hire junior employees and get to work with them, and you have for the past several years. Tell me the biggest piece of advice you give to junior employees or students who are looking to build their career in sports or are currently building their career in sports.
Oh, I always tell them, like, say yes to every opportunity you can. Like, even if it's just volunteering and taking tickets at a championship or something, because you are one degree away from meeting someone, networking with them. I always get asked a ton of like networking questions, and the biggest advice is building relationships. Like, don't always go into something thinking you need something or you need to get something out of it, but build relationships with these people, and then when the time comes and it feels natural, like your name is going to be top of mind. And so that happens with you just getting yourself out there and saying yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice, and you are an example of this as much as well as other people I've had in this podcast over the years who went to a team at their school and said, "Hey, I want to take pictures for you. I want to, or I want to do your social. Or I've heard that story countless times over the years, and it's the start of it's chapter one of what turns out to be a tremendous story. And you are living proof yourself. And so it's just so great just to find those opportunities, raise your hand, or go and offer your services for free. And that's a fantastic way to do it if you're able to, of course. Next one for you. This one might just be I ask my junior employees what's going on, but how do you stay up on the latest trends, both from like a cultural perspective, but also the more content and packaging and social platforms perspective?
Yeah, I mean, for sure you have to live and breathe in the feeds. Like, I think that's foremost. But then for us, like using your data, like I use Sprout Social, and so looking at what is trending out in the universe. And I think it could be even not sport accounts, like what's going on. And since we follow our athletes, like a lot of the times they're all jumping on the hot trends at the time. So we're like, oh, okay, we've seen a ton of our athletes post this trend. How can we turn it into the brand? Like, how can we bring a brand voice and tone into this? And that's really fun. Also, my social weekly, like team meetings, we're always talking about, like, hey, what content have you seen? What's going on the platforms? And because we all have different feeds, we all have different algorithms that we look for. That's always fun to see because there might be a trend and I'm like, oh, can you explain that one to me? Because I'm not all the way there. Or I might say something, I'm like, wait, is this a little too old school now? Or they'll be like, oh yeah, Jay, don't say that. I'm like, okay, cool.
And that's just like
You gotta be open.
oh, it's just another reason why it's so important to have like a diverse staff as well, because then that way you have diverse feeds and diverse things that you're seeing. If everyone is the same person in the same feed, then you're not getting new ideas. You're always going to be like it's one big echo chamber. So I like that aspect of it, and I like to be able to look at like the top performing posts as well, of understanding not just like what it is, but like why did it work so well? Like what were the elements in it, and trying to reverse engineer it in that aspect at least, not just in like how can we imitate this necessarily.
Yes.
All right, this is a good segue into this next question. Then we're at number six with Jalen Art of the NCAA. Tell me your favorite sort of like mantra or guiding principle. Like, what sort of something that when it comes to building effective social media strategy, what's something that really is top of mind for you always?
My team would probably tell you that my phrase is champions adjust. And that is because I go back. I'm a type A girly. I love a strict content plan. I like knowing when things are going and what we're creating, what time it's going, the collabs, all of those things. But as we all cover live events, things don't ever go as planned. And so I think content plans give the team confidence to be able to move and groove. But as champions adjust, like there's going to be things that come up and you have to be able to create on the fly. And so that's kind of my phrase. But selfishly, it's a good reminder for myself when I'm on site leading the team.
I absolutely love that. You need to like bring carry around whenever you travel, like a Notre Dame type sign with a championship dust, and slap it on the way out to
I
wherever
do.
you
That would be sick. Oh
guys are. We'll work on that. We'll have to send you
my
one.
goodness.
Number seven for you. This is gonna be maybe the hardest question I ask of the entire podcast. The most memorable game you've ever been at.
Oh. Okay, I'm gonna go with D1 indoor volleyball. Penn State when they won because it was the first time ever that a female head coach won. And that was really cool. That was unreal. And their coach, like, she is just an amazing coach. I'm obsessed with her. She was also beating cancer that whole season. So to be able to be there for that moment, and obviously I have the love for volleyball and that community. So that was a really cool game to be at.
That is a great one. I can like picture where I was standing watching that on TV. So heck yeah,
That's
that's great.
awesome.
Number eight for you, Jalen. It's our food question. We always ask a food question. So tell me, this is a two-parter because I want to get both sides here a little bit. First, the best meal to get in Indianapolis and where to get it, and then a little bonus, go back to your roots a little bit. The best meal to get in the greater like Minneapolis area and where to get it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm a coffee girly. And so I'm going to go with Bovaconti coffee and their pastries in Indy. That is like my favorite place. Very Instagrammable, on brand, of course. When you're in Minneapolis, you have to get a Juicy Lucy at Matt's Bar and Grill, and they only take cash. But that is the home of the Juicy Lucy. If you don't know what it is a hamburger, and inside the hamburger is your choice of cheese. But again, cash only, Matt's Bar and Grill.
So Juicy Lucy's are not overrated. They are as delectable as you think they are.
Absolutely.
There we go. All right, I feel like I made like a homemade Juicy Lucy, but I've never had like the real thing. So I'll have to someday have to visit Minnesota and do my whole Midwest, like have to have some cheese curds at some point. That's like a Midwest thing. And so yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, I'll take you to Matt's Bar and Grill. You just let me know when you're in Minneapolis.
Yeah. All right, number nine for you, Jalen. Tell me, this is another really tough one actually, but I'm excited. You can give multiple ones if you need to, but this is a really fun one. Tell me your favorite student athlete story that somebody has told in your time so far.
Oh,
What's like one that
favorite.
really sticks out in your mind? Like that was an awesome story that I'm glad we got to tell that one.
You know, I'm gonna go with this last year, the woman of the year, because she was amazing. Like she was a former softball player, and her story and just what she was able to accomplish. And when we got to interview her, like she was just the most like she just was an unselfish person, and she gave her teammates all the flowers in the world. And to be able to interview her teammates and her coaches and hear what they thought about her, like it was, she's like a very special person. So this year's past woman of the year is probably my favorite.
I love hearing that. We'll have to link it up in the show notes. And yeah, one of the best things about it, when I have college athletics folks on this podcast is as much as we like lament, oh, the kids these days or next generation or whatever, it like every time they're like, no, like you meet some of these kids or some of these student athletes and it reminds you know, the world's in good hands for the next generation because there's some incredible
Yes.
people out there.
Yeah, she was that for sure.
Love hearing that. All right, last one to get you out of here. I'm pretty intrigued by where you're gonna go with this one. So tell me the NCAA sport that people don't talk about enough, or is sort of like a sleeping giant, or one that has the biggest potential for growth in the near future.
Okay, I was thinking about this, and my hot take is fencing because
Whoa.
I learned a lot about it during the Paris Summer Games. And the athletes that we have are so cool. And fencing is just like unreal. It's a sport that I know literally nothing about, but like I want to join like a fencing club and I want someone to teach me because I got to like see some practices and the venue in Paris was like out of a movie where they competed for fencing. But I think fencing's gonna be my pick.
I like that. I like that take actually quite a bit. I feel like why isn't there a Nintendo Wii like fencing game that's taken off or like how come?
I'm like this, yeah, it is a really cool
Or
sport.
like, do some like Star Wars licensing and you can fence with some lightsabers, a foil version of a lightsaber, an epee version of a lightsaber. Like, hell yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, no, it's sick. It's so cool.
I like that take. You kicked ass in your sets and spikes. You nailed it, nailed every single point. Now it's your chance to take over the podcast, Jalen. Tell us your all-starter follow. It can be a social media follow, a podcast, a newsletter, which just tells us who they are and why they're following.
Oh my gosh. So I'm gonna go with, I'm pulling up her Instagram right now so I make sure I say it right. But my girl Maggie, her username is Maggie M Yan, and she is an awesome creator. She is working with Team USA for the Summer Games in Paris, and then she's also on site for the Winter Games and Paralympics. But she is just so awesome. She is an amazing content creator for especially personality content. But I feel like she's just up and coming, and she's also one of the kindest humans I've ever met. So I'm gonna give her a shout out.
Love that recommendation. We'll have to look her up and we will put her handle in the show notes as well so everyone can find her. That's a great shout out. And how about you? Where can we find you as well as all things NCAA on digital social media? Again, I won't make you name all the platforms, but a general idea.
Yes. So anything NCAA related will be at NCAA. And then you can find me at it's Jalen dot Arndt or Jalen underscore Arndt on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the pod today, Jalen. You were just so awesome with your insight, your knowledge, your experience, your wisdom. You do such a great job, NCAA, you and your team there, of covering all these stories and bringing us all this great content. And we thank you for coming on the pod today.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Just awesome stuff being able to speak with Jalen Arndt of the NCAA. Just she brings a tremendous amount of passion and insight and intellect and energy, just everything under the sun. And there's a good reason why the NCAA continues to put out just great content, great storytelling, great coverage across all of its sports, all of its student athletes. And Jalen and her team are a big part of that. And we thank her for coming on the podcast today. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Digital Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks again for downloading, watching, listening, however you consume this podcast. You can find me on Twitter and NJ287, also on LinkedIn, the website dsmsports.net, and stay tuned across whichever podcast platform is your favorite for new episodes to come. Until next time, this is Neil Horwitz signing off the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.